Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Pear Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. We're really studying the Holy Spirit, and we'll be this week and next. But we're using as our text scriptures, and our fact is that the church, the body of Christ, is called the temple of God. And so we're using those scriptures in the New Testament, which particularly point this out as our text. 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you had from God, and that you are not your own?" 2 Corinthians 6:16, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God." So, God calls the church the temple. I think that the new covenant man, the new covenant body of Christ, does not understand what it means to be a temple. In Old Testament days, you would have understood, if you'd lived at the time of the tabernacle and the temple, you would have understood the power of the presence in the tabernacle and then in the temple in Jerusalem. You would have understood the connection of holiness to it. You would have understood the overwhelming power of the Shekinah glory. And so we're taking a look at it because we are the temple of God. And what does this mean, and how can we cooperate with manifesting the power of the glory? How can we cooperate with the glory of God that's within us, progressing from Christ in you, the hope of glory, then from one degree of glory to the next until we're glorified and out of here? And we are the glorious church. So we're going to talk about that in these 2 weeks. Yesterday, we looked at the tabernacle. We looked at the fact that God had been separated from his people, but that he had called them when they came out of Egypt, and he called them out to a mountain. He said, "Build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And from there I will commune with you." Commune. Talk to you in the tabernacle, in your very temple where you are. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. One of the things he wants to do with you in that temple you are is commune with you. And we're going to talk about that next week. But today, we're going to go to the temple in Jerusalem. Of course, he dwelt in that, the Shekinah of the tabernacle. And that tabernacle was portable. The children of Israel were traveling those 40 years in the wilderness. And then when they came out of the wilderness, they moved to, and Joshua set up that tabernacle in Shiloh. I go to Shiloh every year. The tabernacle was there 369 years. And it's really something to go out to that place where it sat, and they know exactly where it did sit. There's a residue there of the Shekinah glory. You know, if there was a residue of the anointing of that prophet Elisha, when he died and they buried him in a cave, as was custom to do, a year later, when a soldier was killed in battle, he was thrown into that cave, and he came into contact with the bones of Elisha. He came to life. He resurrected. So, Brother Hagin used to say, if there was that much power in a dead prophet's bones, think about the power in a live prophet, the power in a live child of God. There should be power. We shouldn't be powerless. our meetings at the church shouldn't be so that you can just tell every single thing. Even if you don't have programs and you preach against programs, everybody that comes to church knows what the program is. And you get out at a certain time, and if you don't, you're not very happy. And so we really do have a lack of the power of God manifested in our beings and manifested in our services, and we have to get over this. There are reasons why. And we maybe can find out some reasons why when we look at the temple, we look at the tabernacle of the Old Testament, and we see what pleased God and what you were supposed to do there and what was not allowed there. And so we're not talking about getting to heaven. We're talking about having power. People confuse this. They say, well, you know, I can do this. We're living under this time of grace, and I can do this and that. Well, you can go to heaven, of course. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. But are you going to be powerful on your road? Are you going to be able to heal the sick? Are you going to be able to raise the dead? Are you going to be able to speak with tongues, and your tongues absolutely change worlds? Well, that depends much on your behaving and your comprehension of what it means to be a temple. Bless the Lord. So we see that after they were 369 years there, God had spoken to them ever since they came out of Egypt that there was a place, HaMakom. We have teaching tapes on this. It really go into detail. He had told them was a place. There was a place that he was going to put his name there. They were searching for this place. They didn't find it until the days of David, and David found the place. He found HaMakom. He found the Temple Mount. And the Lord told him, this build here. And so David wanted to build, and God then took David and showed him a pattern after which he was to build the temple. David gave that pattern to his son Solomon. And we find that in 1 Chronicles 28:11. Then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch of the temple, its buildings, its storehouses, its upper rooms, its inner rooms, and the room for the mercy seat. So David had been shown a pattern, just like Moses had been shown a pattern. And David gave that pattern and plan to his son Solomon. The Lord had said to David, you cannot build this because your hands have shed too much blood. But God did show the pattern to David. In 1 Chronicles 29:1, David said to the entire assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now let's take a think of that. The temple is not for man, but for Jehovah God. Now we're going to translate that into New Testament language. When it tells us that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, you are the temple for the Lord. You are for communicating with Him. You are for hearing from Him and manifesting His glory to bring Him glory. At that same time, I like these words. I always consider them that King David said to that crowd. He said, my son is young and tender, and this temple is not for man, but it's for God. And he said, it must be, King James translates it like this, it must be exceeding magnificent and filled with glory. Exceeding magnificent and filled with glory. Now let your mind wrap around that. This is his temple in Jerusalem. And God wants it according to the pattern. And God wants it magnificent and filled with glory. Now think about you. You are the temple of the living God. He wants you exceeding magnificent and filled with the glory of God. For God's use. And so, he builded the temple. And we come to that magnificent line again. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Remember that line that we came to about Moses? So Moses finished the work. Well, we find that line about Solomon. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of Jehovah was finished. The tabernacle was finished. Now the temple in Jerusalem is finished. And folks, I want to submit right here and get your mind to move forward. The church, which is his temple, we are his temple individually, and then congregate, we are the temple of God. That will be finished as well, and the glory will fill us. We will be the glorious church. Now we're going back, we're backtracking back to the temple, which is a type and a shadow. All of these things are types and shadows for us. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 5. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of Jehovah was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated. Verse 2, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and the heads of the tribes and the chief and all the men of Israel. And this is the Feast of Tabernacles. That means there are about 2 million people on those hillsides, more than 2 million. They were 2 million when they left Egypt. By now, they're probably 4 or 5 million. And they're filling those hills. Every time I go there and I look at Mount Moriah where the temple stood, and I look at this day when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, and I imagine those hills covered with people and all of them, all of the priests wearing white. And so we read in verse 11, and it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by four course. There were 24 classes, and they totaled, they each had a course during the year, or one or more. But there were more than 4,000 priests there, all dressed in white. The Levites, the singers, the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps. They stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, 120, sounding with trumpets. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound and to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, praise the Lord is hallelujah. They praised the Lord, saying, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. There you have it again. Just like in the tabernacle, this temple is filled with the glory of the Lord. When they reached the place of unity, the singers, the priests, the musical instruments, and they were singing antiphonally. The Levite leader would say it, and then the singers would answer, hallelujah, hallelujah, ki tov, ki tov, ki leolam chasdo, ki leolam chasdo, hallelujah, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, the cloud of glory that filled the tabernacle, filled the temple. And brothers and sisters, that same glory, that same Holy Spirit is going to fill the church of the living God before we leave here. It's already in us. We're going to be that glorious church without a spot or without a wrinkle. And this is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until tomorrow.